When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I am confident, I'm energized, I'm excited about this unique opportunity. We will get this right, and we'll be sitting up here in the future at some point in time, and we'll look back onto this day and say this was the day that really that we start pointing in the right direction to build the franchise that all of us know that we want to build.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Welcome in. I'm excited about this one. Trevor Sikkema, lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, also co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange. Fire follow at Tampa Bay Trey. What's up, Trevor?
I appreciate you having me on the show. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Is it going to be fun for the Bears, though, in this coaching search? Kevin Warren came out and said the Bears head coaching job is the most coveted in the NFL. I wonder, in your opinion, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, it should be fun because of what he said, right? I mean, like, if that's the case, then it's absolutely going to be fun because you're hopefully going to have your pick of any sort of coaches. And, you know, when I was sort of going through the exercise of what does fixing the Bears look like? What does the blueprint for this offseason look like? There are a lot of, or I should say key head coach candidates who should be very interested in this job, you know, with some bad coaches or some bad situations, I should say, around the NFL. I think everybody looks at, okay, Ben Johnson from the Detroit Lions. He's the offensive coordinator. He's the number one candidate, right? But, you know, we go through these organizations and we go like, you know, is he really going to say yes to this organization? I mean, he's already said no to the Washington Commanders. He said no to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he said no to, it feels like, a bunch of teams over the last couple of head coaching cycles. This is one that actually makes a lot of sense for him because you have Caleb Williams, because you have a GM who is, you know, very clearly wanting to get this team on the right side of things. I do still believe in Ryan Poles. You have a fan base that is one of the strongest, most passionate fan bases in the NFL and a team that desperately wants a winner. So, yeah, it's a lot of pressure, but it's the kind of pressure that you would want, especially with a franchise quarterback already in hand. And so, you know, you got Ben Johnson as a candidate. I think that Mike Vrabel would also be a great candidate to really right this ship, get this organization in the right spot, building that culture. Shoot, I think that we've heard this, and I even talked about this on our most recent podcast that we did, how, look, if there's any chance at all whatsoever, if the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan might be wanting to go different ways, I mean, you figure that out very, very quickly, because that could not be a better situation if he ends up coming to Chicago. But, of course, that's the pipe dream, and I think there's a lot of in between. But ultimately, to answer your question, yes, I think that Chicago is a premium destination when it comes to this head coaching cycle. And of the best candidates that are going to be available, Chicago's got the best chance to sign the best head coach.
I wonder, just following up on the Commanders and Ben Johnson turning them down, new ownership, and they've got, you know, obviously ending up with the pick that they did with Jaden Daniels. So a lot of the things that you're saying about Chicago kind of ring true for the Commanders as well, a fan base that's desperate for winning and finally has changed some things with the culture. kind of compare and contrast that a little bit, because it feels like if Ben Johnson turned down the Commanders, wouldn't he also see some of those same organizational dysfunctions here in Chicago as well?
I mean, he could, right? I mean, I am shocked that he did not take the Commanders job. I really am, because everything was sort of right there. And, you know, people can look at that situation and say, well, you know, it's not the perfect situation. It's new ownership, new general manager. You don't exactly know what's going on. You don't have the number one pick. You have the number two pick. And all that stuff is understandable. But at the same time, if a team's got a head coaching opening, there's problems, right? I mean, there's issues. So if Ben Johnson ever wants to be a head coach in this league, or I should say, if Ben Johnson wants to be a head coach in this league right now, it's hard to find a situation better than what Chicago is in. I think a lot of Chicago Bears fans, understandably so, would talk about the frustrations and some of the things that have held that team back. But it's never going to be a perfect scenario for a new head coach to come in. And again, when you look at having a franchise caliber quarterback, having your draft picks, having a GM as willing as he is to make this team great, and what seems like ownership and presidents and everything that want to make this team great, then I don't know how you get better than this. I really don't. So to your point, I know you're sort of playing devil's advocate and smartly so there. Why would Ben Johnson be interested in the Chicago Bears if he didn't take the Washington Commanders job? Well, to be honest with you, I think it more had to do with the Detroit Lions than necessarily the Washington Commanders. I think that there was some unfinished business, if you will, with the Detroit Lions, and that's why he ended up not going with Washington. I think if Detroit wins a Super Bowl this year, I think all bets are off for him to be a head coach somewhere else. Now, would Chicago want to wait all the way until they end up winning the Super Bowl? I think that's another question that you would have to answer, but I think the answer would be yes if he's willing to take over as head coach.
They've talked about in the Bears organization wanting a leader of men to come in and be the head coach. I wonder, in your perspective, obviously you break football down on a very deep and nuanced level. Like, for this Bears team, should they get a young offensive mind type like a Ben Johnson, or should they find like a Dan Campbell type or a Dan Quinn type? Because we've seen this leader of men, I guess, concept come up more and more over the last 12 months.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Every coach in the NFL wants a good leader at head coach, right? I mean, they're all going to say that. In fact, I went back and when before we did the Fixing the Bears episode on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, I went back and I read the quotes of Ryan Poles and just the people within that organization and how they talked about Matt Eberflus. And they talked about him using all the buzzwords that you would want, right? High judge of character, a leader, passionate, all this stuff. So they already kind of went this route. It just very clearly came out to be that Eberflus, maybe they thought he was this guy when they hired him, but he was not. And so that's why it's a great question that you pose. And Ben Johnson is basically the only young coordinator candidate that I would consider for the Bears. Because outside of Ben Johnson, I'd be doing everything that I could to go get Mike Vrabel, who we already know is not only a winner in this league, but somebody who was good enough as a head coach to where, remember those Tennessee Titans teams? They weren't always great. Tennessee, for about 2 years in a row, were winning when they weren't supposed to. That shows a coach who knows how to get the most out of his players, who's a leader, who has buy-in. So Mike Vrabel is at the top of that list. Obviously, I talked about a pipe dream of Kyle Shanahan, but like, I'm also reaching out to the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm saying, hey, I know Pete Carroll wasn't right for you then, but Pete Carroll wasn't exactly ready to hang up the headset when he sort of transitioned into this non-coaching role. Is Pete Carroll somebody who would be interested in getting back into coaching and in Chicago's situation? I'd be trying to find one of these guys, because you are totally right. It does not have to. I think we all get caught up in this. We all think that the next head coach has to be a brilliant play caller. No, they don't. Mike Tomlin basically came from being a position coach to a head coach. Dan Campbell went from being a tight ends coach to a head coach. John and Jim Harbaugh, both the same thing. They went from basically being position coaches to head coaches. And that's the thing is you really just have to open up the scope. And it's not just about the guys who call the best plays. I think we've seen that over the last 5 years in particular in the NFL. If we gravitate towards, well, they were a good play caller and they were a good coordinator for teams, often you find out that some guys just aren't built to be head coaches. It's a different breed. It's a different mentality. And that's why I try to go get somebody who's got that type of experience.
Yeah, and we know that based on hiring Shane Waldron, that sometimes the guy that's calling the plays is calling somebody else's vision for what they want to do in running an offense. And it doesn't always work out when they go somewhere else. Do you think that the Shanahan trading a pick for Shanahan is a realistic possibility?
It's small, right? And it's understandably small. You know, it's really just the fact that does San Francisco have sort of fatigue? Or really, I think that San Francisco wouldn't be the side of things that would have fatigue. Does Kyle Shanahan have some sort of fatigue for his time in San Francisco? Obviously, he's very close to winning a Super Bowl with San Francisco two seasons, even very recently. And so San Francisco would not be the team or the side of things that would give up on Kyle Shanahan. But after this season, are there frustrations mounting? Is the disappointment there? And is he ready for a fresh start somewhere else? Now, getting Kyle Shanahan on Chicago's side of things, even if there's a possibility where they'd be open to it, you got to remember, Gruden went for two first-round picks, I think two second-round picks, and then some back when the Buccaneers traded for him when he was with the Oakland Raiders at the time. And so it's probably going to be a situation where if Kyle Shanahan becomes available, he will be so coveted that the Bears would because it's not like the 49ers are going to fire him. He's under contract until 2027. They're not going to fire him, even if Kyle wants to move on. If anything, they'd get picks for him. And I think that they'd have to make some sort of a trade agreement there. So the odds are very, very low. I cannot imagine the 49ers themselves at the front office and the ownership would want to move on. It's really just a matter of Shanahan's been there a while. He's gotten close but hasn't been able to do it. This has been a really disappointing season for him. The roster is about to change big time, especially once they give Brock Purdy big money. Does he want a fresh start somewhere else? And maybe a place like Chicago with Caleb Williams could be something that's enticing enough for him.
Is Bill Belichick a legit candidate to you?
I like Belichick. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what to think with Bill. I don't know what to think because we've never seen him operate under any other style other than he is the head coach and acting general manager. He has all the power. He makes all the football decisions. And that obviously built a dynasty with the New England Patriots. But when you hit it, having the greatest quarterback of all time, obviously it gets a little bit easier to do that. And we saw what happened with the Patriots once Tom Brady was no longer there. And so I still think that Bill Belichick is a phenomenal head coach. And if he wants to coach again next year, I think that he will have the chance to do so. I just wonder if, you know, when the Patriots fired him, I look at teams around the NFL who still had head coaching vacancies and still who could have been in that spot, who I wonder if they just did not believe that he could change. And I wonder if Chicago is going to look at that as well. Does it have to be Bill's way or the highway? Because if it is, I don't know if Chicago's going to sign up for that. I don't know if any team's going to sign up for that, given how it ended in New England. Maybe they will, and I think that it is worth exploring. But I'm not sure if Chicago's the place for Bill Belichick if he's going to get back in the league next year.
Trevor Sikkema here, lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange as well. You know, I think, Trevor, I'm starting to wonder about the organization and the structure as a whole for the Bears right now, in terms of the McCaskies, in terms of Kevin Warren, in terms of Ryan Poles. Who's pulling the strings? Who's in charge? That press conference yesterday gave me great pause when they asked Kevin Warren, like, who's the last decision maker here? Who has final say? For you, in your opinion, is it fair to say that Bears are on the borderline of being one of the most dysfunctional organizations in the NFL right now, or no?
No, I don't think that that's fair just because there's a lot of organizations that are dysfunctional. Now, does that mean that the Bears are exactly the way that they should be? No. And look, I won't pretend to know the inner workings of exactly how things have gone down with decisions for the Bears. I don't live in Chicago. I don't follow that team as closely as I know you and a lot of your listeners do. And when it comes to ownership and how much they are involved, a lot of times you really have to follow the team very closely. But I'll tell you this, Ryan Poles does not have final decision making, because at the end of the day, Kevin Warren is above him and the ownership is above Kevin Warren. So at the end of the day, the final decision is the owner. And the owner's final decision happens to be relinquishing power to Kevin Warren. And then Kevin Warren's final decision happens to be relinquishing power to Ryan Poles to, quote unquote, make that final decision. So maybe they still trust him. But at the end of the day, no, a general manager will never have final say in an organization where you have a team president over you or a head of football ops over you. And then when ownership is as involved as it can be, as we see around the league, I mean, the New York Jets and Woody Johnson, we've seen that. Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys, we have seen that. When Dan Snyder was the owner of the Washington Commanders, that was something that we've got multiple examples of him sort of meddling, if you will, with decisions. And so this happens a lot. You know, owners, they own these franchises. And I feel like they are sometimes the biggest detriment to their franchises having success, because just because they're billionaires doesn't exactly mean they know what's best when it comes to those football decisions. So where I do somewhat believe that Ryan Poles could be the, you know, final say, and, you know, it's his candidate that ends up getting the job, make no mistake, he's only making that decision because he is empowered to do so by the people who have more decision power over him.
You covered Caleb Williams a lot in your draft process. Like, what are you seeing from him so far? Like, what are your early thoughts on his development so far this season?
Yeah, I think that Caleb is sort of, I'm going to be honest with you, right on track. Like, I knew that it would be an issue for Caleb Williams coming in to really acclimate from a Lincoln Riley system going to the NFL level. I mean, he was going to have to really take down his time to throw. He was really going to have to adjust how he looked at defenses, how long he held onto the ball, being able to process and go through things. You know, he really, I mean, think about it. When he was at Oklahoma, it was Lincoln Riley, and he went to USC, it was Lincoln Riley. He's only really ever known one thing, and it's this horizontal and vertical type of offense that really stretches you with short screen game, and then obviously holding onto the ball a long time, always looking for the deep ball, and a lot of times they're scheming those guys open, and it's just, it was not going to work out at that level in the NFL. I thought that playing behind USC's offensive line also was going to be something that was going to take time when it comes to adjusting to the NFL, because just because you played behind a bad offensive line in college doesn't mean like you know how to play behind a struggling offensive line in the NFL. It's not the same game. It's a different game. It's different speed. There's different things that you have to look at. So Caleb, to me, he's right on par with where he should be, especially given the fact that there was turmoil at the head coach position. There were more senior veterans on the team who have probably been pretty disgruntled. His wide receivers, we've seen that. The offensive line, we have seen that. Just because not necessarily it was all, you know, like disgruntled against Caleb Williams, but probably just disgruntled against the situation, which we have seen and heard reports of now of how a lot of those guys weren't happy. So dealing with an unhappy locker room and a dysfunctional locker room when you are a rookie quarterback who's supposed to be the franchise leader is very tough to navigate, as is working for an offensive coordinator where it's your first year. You don't really have the ability to push back on your offensive coordinator as a rookie. And it was very clear that Shane Waldron, what he was doing was not working. So now he's not even done with his rookie year yet. And he's already on his second play caller that's going to be in his ear. It's just not a recipe for success to see anything more realistic than what we have seen from Caleb Williams. So we've seen some of the good. We've seen some of the flashes. And just for those existing, I am happy with where Caleb Williams currently is going into next year.
For next year, what do you think you need to see in order for you to feel even more encouraged, whether that's the scheme that they put in, whether that's an offensive coordinator, and just from Caleb as a whole?
Yeah, speeding up the process. I think that is something that every time that we have pointed to a good Caleb Williams game, it's always been the fact that he is operating under a lot more confidence, right? The first game that Thomas Brown was the play caller, it felt like he was more confident. It's not like they're running totally different plays. I mean, plays are plays, but it just felt as though he was much more confident in when he needed to get rid of the ball. And I think in his athleticism too, I think that there have been parts of this season where he's heard a lot of people say to him, oh, you can't do that stuff that you did at USC in the NFL. You know, you can't be holding on to the ball forever. And it's like he's really trying to tell us, No, I can operate from the pocket. I can be a pocket quarterback. And there have been moments where he's had the opportunity to take off and either extend plays or pick up yards with his legs, and he hasn't wanted to do so because he's wanted to prove that he is this pocket quarterback. And again, I go back to that first game that Thomas Brown was the play caller. He was so confident in what he was seeing not only in his reads, but also when to take off and actually use his legs and be a little bit more mobile. So to me, it's all about speeding up that process. Time to throw is a good metric to kind of track to make sure that that is getting better and getting a little bit lower. But Caleb's always going to hold on to the ball a little bit longer. Caleb's always going to be a quarterback who's a lot closer to that 3 second time to throw, because you want him to be, because he's special. That's what some of the greatest Caleb Williams plays are. You didn't draft him to take that away from him. You drafted him to see more of that at the NFL level and finding what balance it is to see those sort of Superman plays that we know that he can do. So overall confidence, mastery of whatever offense is coming in, I think that that's going to be paramount, right? Getting a full offseason, hire the offensive coordinator, start getting the mental reps, and make sure that you can hit the ground running and be very confident in what your offense is going to be next season.
Awesome stuff. Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. Find him at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E. Thanks. Good stuff, Trevor.
Appreciate it. Anytime.
Trevor does not think that the Bears are even close to a dysfunctional franchise. Nick Moriano thinks that they are the laughingstock. I think that's the difference between national media and local media, and actually goes into what I'm saying in terms of I think the Bears are getting too much of a pass. Give me a call. What do you think? Are the Bears being accurately depicted in the national media, or are they closer to the Commanders under Dan Snyder than we think? 312-644-6767. We'll get more into that and take your calls right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Just got done with a great interview with Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus, which I am a subscriber to. They do great work. Folks, we got a little bit of a conflicting opinion between our two guests tonight. We got national writer Trevor Sikkema, and he thinks the Bears are not even close to a dysfunctional team in the NFL. There's other ones that are much worse. While Nick Moriano, who's covering this team on a day-to-day basis, beat reporter for CHGO, he is calling them a laughingstock and a dysfunctional team. So let's hear from you guys. I asked you guys to call in, and you have done so. Let's go to Paul out in Oaklawn. What's up, Paul?
Hi. I don't think it's a dysfunctional organization at all. If anything, they don't put up with any nonsense. Whenever something is going down, they make a move right away. And yes, they could have moved a lot quicker on Eberflus, but they were giving them the benefit of the doubt. We've been through so many head coaches, top-notch coaches like Fox and all. But you know what? They were giving them the benefit of the doubt, and they had a move on them because of the nonsense that was going on. They don't put up with it, and they did their job. They got rid of them.
Wow, that is a lot. And yet this team continues to lose and lose and lose. And also, I think that the retreads that have been hired, I don't know that I would say that necessarily hiring somebody 4 days after being fired is not putting up with nonsense when I want to say Sean McVay was available. I want to say Kyle Shanahan was available at that point. Guys that were offensive minds. And I don't necessarily know if just the paramount of function is just not putting up with nonsense. It's also like making the right decisions to begin with, right? Like, it's not, oh, well, we've made a mistake, so we find a way to move on. It's like we don't make mistakes to begin with, or we hire the best person for the job from the beginning. Let's go to Tyler out in Naperville. Tyler, what's up? You're on the Score.
Hey, listen, I just got to say that the Bears are an absolute disgrace and dysfunction across every single aspect of football. Are you kidding me? Because, like, come on. Are we kidding ourselves here with saying that Matt Eberflus was an exceptional head coach? Like, come on, look at our history here, all right? We are the definition of dysfunction and abysmal, okay? There is nothing more that us fans that we can do except for stop showing up to the games, stop buying into this garbage product on the field week after week after week. Nothing is going to change with management here, all right? There are serious systematic issues that are not going to get solved until the McCaskies are no longer part of this organization.
Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. Goodness gracious. I feel like part of me is like, maybe I'm just too mean. Maybe I just get to the end of where I feel like fans should be, and then I say that part, and I don't let people go through the grieving process themselves. But no, Tyler, thank you. It feels like these legacy organizations that skate by. It's kind of like also like when maybe this analogy won't land, but like it's kind of like when your grandma gets an iPad, right? And it's like, she's 87, she's got an iPad, she's got her red receipts on, like maybe she doesn't know how to use everything, but we're giving her credit, right? We're like, oh yeah, like Dolores has an iPad now. Oh yeah, the Bears fired a head coach mid-season. And it's like, yeah, that's what functional organizations do. They move on as soon as the deal needs to be made, as soon as that clip needs to happen. You don't wait till the end of the season. So it's like, oh, this is the first time. These are big sweeping changes that are happening for the Bears. We should be so encouraged. It's like, we are now getting back to just like how normal, functional teams are run. Congratulations, you are in the year 2024.
I want to give a shout out to Tyler. That was one of the best calls we've had in a really long time. So shout out you.
Shout out, Tyler. Let's go to Chicago Johnny. What's up, Chicago Johnny?
Okay, yes. Here's the story. All coaches managers and general managers, they all go to the Chicago Bears organization to die. Okay? Because when was the last time you heard the Bears organization hire somebody who knows what they're doing? It's not that they don't know how. They don't want to. They don't care. And I don't care what you say. They don't care about the team. They sit in their office and they just sit there and count their money. So all they do, they get these people, these coaches, these managers that they don't know what they're doing. So they come to our Bears team so they can die. And that's what's happening with every one of them. I mean, since Lovie Smith, that's the last time we've had someone who was decent. But the Bears organization, they don't care about winning. All they care about how much money they're going to make, and they just sit in their office and count the money. And they know how to put a team together. They know how to put an organization. They choose not to.
Do you think, Chicago Johnny, that when they get to Chicago, they're already ready to count the money? Or do you think the weather is just so cold that you just want to go into a little cocoon and not do any work?
They just want to sit there and count their money. Because even before the season begins, they already know how much they're going to make. They know how much the NFL is going to pay them. They know how much they're going to get in the sky boxes. They know how much they're going to give for the seats. I mean, they already know all that stuff, and they don't care. I don't care what – there's nobody that could change my mind to let me know, and there's no way that the McCaskies will sell the team because the Bears are a cash cow.
Cash cow. Thanks, Chicago Johnny. Love it. Fire. Jordan, let's go to Jordan. What's up with you? What do you say about this?
Well, first of all, I do think that guy had it right. Like, being a Bears coach is like being a fish in the live well. It just knows it's marked for death, and it's just a matter of how long. But I was going to say, for this, like, for a, like, out of town and in town, I feel like it's like dating someone. Like, when you're dating someone, everything's great, you know. But then when they move in, you notice all the little nuances and all the different problems. And I feel like we as Chicago fans like know all the, you know, where all the nooks and crannies are and all the, you know, problems. Whereas like someone out of town doesn't necessarily get all that because we're following the team on a daily basis.
Yeah, everything looks good on paper. It's like, oh, we've got Caleb Williams, we've got DJ Moore, we got DeAndre Swift, we got Roma Dunze, we got Keenan Allen, we got a top 10 defense, and it's like, sir. Are you watching these games? Like, very close. And PFF, they do a phenomenal job, by the way. They're an X's and O's monster. But I think in terms of, like, organizational malfeasance, they're not as necessarily plugged in.
Yeah, and, like, Trista, we are both, like, out-of-towners. Like, I'm not from Chicago. I'm from Detroit. And you are, like, you're living in D.C., and you're all over the world. And when I came here, I thought the Bears were a great organization because I'm a Lions fan, and that's like the most dysfunction you could get until like right now. And then I come to the score, and I realize everything sucks. And I realize and I learn about all of the ownership, and then I learn about what's happening to the White Sox and what's happening to the Bulls. And even though the Cubs are like the most stable team here in the city, they have all of their issues. And now that I learn here, I feel terrible for the fans in Chicago because they know everything and they do not deserve the crap that they get every single week from all their sports teams.
And if that's the case, then and we don't know how much of an insider versus an outsider someone like Ben Johnson is. Maybe he listens to the score, maybe he doesn't. But all I'm saying is, if we're having Chicago Johnny say, and many other fans know this, you come to Chicago and that's your last stop, sir. Like, Lovie Smith, he went to Houston, but what happened to Lovie Smith in Houston? It wasn't a great situation for him either. It was Game of Thrones-esque over there. So, like, if the Chicago Bears organization is where a head coach comes, and that's their last stop because they die professionally, why would a Ben Johnson want to come here?
Yeah, if you think about it, Mark Trestman, he was never head coach again. John Fox, never head coach again. Matt Nagy, I mean, he's with the Chiefs, but I mean, he's not going to be a head coach again. And now you have Matt Eberflus. If he's a head coach again, I don't trust that franchise any single more. So I think Chicago Johnny just might be onto something. Every single one of those coaches will never be a head coach again.
Yeah, it's wild. And to me, like, I'm starting to believe that the Bears have skated for way too long under the radar, despite over the last 4 years being the worst team in the NFL. And it is the most coveted opening, but like, this is an opening of three, right? Like, so it kind of is a little bit of a misnomer, kind of a little bit is of a work. Necessarily wouldn't agree with that. If all jobs were open, the Bears wouldn't be in the top five. Let's just say that. Like, we have said this before earlier on the show. In the last 4 years in totality, there is no team worse in the NFL than the Bears. They have won just over 30% of their games since the second half of 2021. And like, that's worse than the Giants. That's worse than the Jets. Teams that we just clown, right? Like, we clown regularly for being a laughingstock. We laugh at the Browns all the time for all their organizational malfeasance, the decisions that they make where we're just like, what were you thinking? Like, the Redskins / Washington football team / Commanders, they don't even, like, their song, HTTR, they don't even do that one anymore. They got a new word. Now they're going to go back to the old name. They're thinking about going to RFK, but what did that take? A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, fans that just tune the team out until you got a change in ownership, right? The Commanders were held accountable, and finally now they're on the other side of it. And they're still scarred. For whatever reason, the Bears just do not seem to get that same type of national ire. And I think that's wrong. Like, even me, while I was putting this show together, I'm thinking to myself, this is too mean. I'm too mean to the Bears. This fan base doesn't deserve this. You're in the middle of maybe one of the most transformational periods for your franchise, and I am here to throw cold water on that. Who am I to say that, right? But then I was like, no. If this was the Jets, if I was doing WFAN, which I used to do, I would be going ham right now. I would be, if this is the same organization, you just put it in New York, which really, it's a lot worse over there right now, truthfully. But if it was them, I would be going crazy. I think the Bears, because Bears fans are really nice, very nice people. The Midwest is great. The city of Chicago is great. I think it's one of the most livable places in the country, like, in terms of the architecture and the food. It's just, it's a great city. You don't want to beat up on the fans who have been, like, quite frankly, beaten up as it is. But, like, you look at the Hail Mary with Jaden Daniels, like, the Commanders sunned you, which is insane to think about. You lost to the Patriots, which is a team that everybody was betting against every single week in Survivor. They're a mess. Block kick against the Packers, the missed timeout opportunity against the Lions. Like, if this was the Jets, if this was the Commanders or the old Lions, we would be slaughtering them online. We would be, Good Morning Football would be having multiple segments about this, because this is the facts, and the facts don't care about your feelings. This is the worst team statistically, record-wise, in the NFL for 4 years running combined. That cannot be denied. And I feel it is not really being acknowledged, which makes me feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah, and like, a lot of the texters here are like, and a lot of the people here are like, oh, you guys should say the same thing over and over again about how bad it is. It's like, what good can we say? Caleb Williams is good. That is good. Everything else has been dysfunction all around. We're just pointing out the obvious.
Indeed. And to me, the Bears are like the Ford Motor Company, you know, in the 1980s. All the other companies were running laps around them, and they just, like, continue to run out the Ford Escort, like, one of the least reliable cars of all time, like Matt Eberflus Escort. Pause. You know?
Do you remember the Ford Windstar? You know,
yes.
Yeah, that was a car. That was a tank, but that's no longer a thing anymore.
It's not a thing. And it doesn't, to me, though, like, the point of this, when you're looking to hire a new head coach, it doesn't matter if you have Jeff Gordon driving the Escort. And I don't mean to call any of the players the escort. The mentality is the Ford family, right? The mentality, no shade to the Lions. The mentality is that old school, like, we're not gonna change and update and transform. Like, it doesn't matter who you have driving this car. And for whatever reason, we just continue to feel optimistic, or at least national media does. For folks who are listening, am I being too harsh? Give me a call, 312-644-6767. Let me know what you think. We've had some awesome, awesome calls. Remember, we had some literally scripted plays every time for Justin Field a couple of years back, and we didn't know what was going to happen. No patience to develop a young quarterback who literally never had to think for himself before, and they knew that Justin Fields couldn't call plays. We talked about this a few weeks back. So, to me, this has been coming for a long time. What do you guys think? 312-644-6767. Am I being too harsh, or are the Bears on the verge of being the biggest laughingstock in the NFL? We'll do this right after this.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We're almost up out of here. It's been a very, very fast show. This is our last segment. I really do think that we are giving the Bears just a little bit too much slack in terms of how confident we feel that they're going to get this next decision right, considering that, like, I'm not even sure why Kevin Warren is suddenly the face of the franchise in terms of, like, shot callers. But speaking of callers, I want to hear from you guys. Let's talk to Quickfinger. He's got some thoughts.
Hey. Hey, how about it? Hey, listen, I had a question before, but I got two now. The first one was the same station, but a later night host. He hung up on me and laughed at me when I told him it was the McCaskies that is ruining this franchise. And then when I kept trying to call back, the producer kept hanging up on me. That kind of got me angry. So I just don't know why now everybody's making a big deal about the McCaskies. I said that all along. Now,
Maybe you should host on this station. Sounds like you have your quick finger on the pulse.
Well, you know what? My middle finger is the only one that sticks up for me when I need them. Anyway, my second thing was. Eberflus, I never liked him from the beginning, but I think he's taking too much heat for that last time out, why he wasted it. Now, isn't any player on the team can call timeout? If I'm not mistaken, why didn't that happen?
Anyone on the field can call the timeout, but you've got a rookie quarterback and he's looking at the sidelines. Everybody thought a timeout was going to get called. But, again, it's not really their call to make with 32 seconds left to go or whatever it was. And so there was just a bit of
– with 2 seconds left to go, why not do it? I mean, come on. They knew he wasn't going to – Eberflus wasn't going to – he was in a daze. Why didn't somebody else call timeout? He's taking so much heat for that when the rest of the team should be just as responsible for not taking that timeout.
Well, you know, Quickfinger, the saying, right, that the poop rolls downhill. You know what I'm saying? It's all on the head coach. You can't put it all on the players because they're not the ones that are responsible for everything in terms of the decisions of the team. Let's go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, Quickfinger, this one's for you. This is a Score tradition. Here's my Quickfinger as well. Yeah, okay.
Said he cut him off. All right, let's go to Tim out in Woodstock. What's up, Tim? You're on the Score.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. You know, the McCaskies, they want to win. They just don't know how to. And I think it spills into the fact that who in their right mind thinks that they're going to be able, with the organization they got now, to hire the right people? Why do we keep thinking the right people are going to come in with the things the way they are? It's just not going to happen. I love the Bears, and I live and die with them. But they are a disgrace, in my opinion. And, I mean, the best New Year's resolution for me would be to hear that the McCaskey's would sell the team to a worthy owner that knows how to put an organization together. You look at businesses, any kind of organization that's successful, it starts at the top, and they surround themselves with great people who are accountable and know how to make things work, and it's just not going to happen.
It's a great point, Tim, and I think that sometimes there's owners that don't care about winning, or there's owners that care mostly about making money. And I don't think that that's this. And there's plenty of other teams where you can give them that moniker. But I think you're right. Like, the McCaskies are a bajillion, right? Like, that's just what it is. It's a very outdated franchise. They're just a franchise horribly out of date. And we talked about this last segment. This is kind of like the 1980s with the Ford Motor Company. Like, all these other companies, all these other car companies are making all these changes. You got Toyota coming in, you got Honda coming in, and Ford is just getting their ass beat. They're getting belt to ass. These other companies just running laps around them, and all they did was just continue to do the same things that they've always been doing. And that's the thing I just want us to all, at least before this decision gets made, is just brace for impact, really. Because Ben Johnson, I would be absolutely shocked if Ben Johnson came to this team, truthfully. Regardless of whether the Lions win the Super Bowl or not, I don't think Ben Johnson's coming. I really don't. And I think we just all need to get ourselves ready for Brian Flores. You know? Just get ready for that experience. I have loved all of the calls tonight. I've loved Paul. Absolutely love Paul. Out in Oakland. Tyler in Naperville, you were a treat. Quick Finger could have done without all of that, but big shout out to my producer, Robbie Triano, on the ones and twos. He was giving us some fire heat on the music, and the music beds were fire. I will be back in a couple of weeks. Trista Crick here, 670 The Score. You guys stay warm, light the fire, and play a little of that new Kendrick album while you're at it. We'll be back.